Planet's podcast, Oshir GCSE Physics.
Hello, and welcome to GCSE Physics Essentials. I'm your host, and today we're exploring one of the most fascinating topics in your OCR specification, planets. Whether you're aiming for a grade 9 or just trying to secure those crucial foundation marks, this episode will give you everything you need to ace questions on this topic.
Now, I know what you're thinking. I've known about planets since primary school. But here's the thing. OCR examiners aren't just testing whether you can name the planets. They want to see if you understand orbital motion, gravitational forces, and how scientific models evolve with evidence. By the end of this episode, you'll know exactly what examiners are looking for and how to secure every available mark. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's dive into the solar system. Let's start with the structure of our solar system. You absolutely must know the 8 planets in order from the sun. Here's the key mnemonic that thousands of students use. My very easy method just speeds up naming. That's Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. In the exam, always write the full names, no abbreviations. Here's a mark-winning detail that catches students out. Between Mars and Jupiter, there's the asteroid belt. Examiners love asking about this, and many candidates forget to mention it when describing solar system structure. That's an easy mark lost. Remember, 4 rocky inner planets, then the asteroid belt, then 4 gas giants further out. Now let's talk about what keeps these planets in orbit, and this is where the physics gets interesting. Gravity is the centripetal force that maintains stable orbits. Let me break this down because it's worth several marks in higher tier questions. When a planet orbits the sun, gravity pulls it constantly toward the center. This is the centripetal force. It always acts perpendicular to the direction of motion toward the sun. But here's the crucial distinction that trips up so many students. Even though the speed might be constant, the velocity is constantly changing. Why? Because velocity is a vector. It has both magnitude and direction. As the planet moves around its circular orbit, the direction is continuously changing, so the velocity is changing too, even if the speed stays the same. In your exam, if you see the word velocity in a question about circular orbits, you must mention direction. If you only talk about speed, you won't get full marks. Examiners are specifically looking for candidates who understand this vector concept. Let's move on to one of the most important parts of this topic, the historical development of solar system models. This comes up frequently in 6-mark extended response questions, so pay close attention. For centuries, people believed in the geocentric model, that's Earth at the center with everything else, including the sun, orbiting around us. It made intuitive sense. After all, we don't feel like we're moving, and we see the sun rise and set each day. The ancient Greek astronomer Ptolemy developed this model, and it was accepted for over 1,000 years. But then came the heliocentric model proposed by Copernicus and later supported by Galileo. This placed the sun at the center with planets, including Earth, orbiting around it. Now here's a critical point for your exam. Don't say the sun is at the center of the universe. It's at the center of the solar system. That's a common mistake that costs marks. The real game changer was Galileo's observations in the early 1600s. Using his telescope, he observed 4 moons orbiting Jupiter. This was revolutionary. If moons could orbit Jupiter, then not everything orbited Earth. This provided concrete evidence against the geocentric model. In exam questions asking for evidence supporting the heliocentric model, always mention Galileo's observations of Jupiter's moons. It's worth at least 1 mark. Right, let's talk exam technique. This topic appears across different question types, so you need to be prepared for everything from 1-mark recall to 6-mark extended responses. For shorter questions, examiners often test planet order. You might see, name the planet between Earth and Jupiter. That's Mars, easy mark if you know your mnemonic. Or they might ask, which is the largest planet? That's Jupiter. These are gift marks if you've learned the basics. For calculations and explanations, especially at higher tier, you'll see questions about orbital motion. Here's the golden rule. Always draw a diagram. Show the planet, the sun, the orbital path, and clearly label your force arrows. The gravitational force arrow must point toward the sun, and the velocity arrow must be tangent to the orbit. Examiners give credit for clear diagrams even if your written explanation isn't perfect. Now, the biggest mistakes I see students make. First, confusing speed and velocity in circular motion questions. Remember, velocity changes because direction changes, even if speed is constant. Second, saying gravity stops or becomes zero in space. Gravity never stops. It gets weaker with distance, but it's still there. Third, forgetting the asteroid belt when describing solar system structure. For extended response questions comparing geocentric and heliocentric models, you must do three things. Describe both models clearly, explain the evidence that led to the change, and mention Galileo specifically. Structure your answer in clear paragraphs, one for geocentric, one for heliocentric, one for evidence. That's how you secure all 6 marks. Okay, quick fire time. I'll ask a question, pause for 3 seconds, then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the third planet from the sun? Earth. Question 2. What force keeps planets in orbit? Gravity, acting as the centripetal force. Question 3. In the geocentric model, what's at the center? Earth. Question 4. Who observed Jupiter's moons through a telescope? Galileo. Question 5. Does velocity change in a circular orbit even if speed is constant? Yes, because direction changes. Question 6. What lies between Mars and Jupiter? The asteroid belt. How did you do? If you got all 6, brilliant. If not, go back and review those sections. Let's wrap up with your key takeaways for exam success. 1. Know your planet order inside out. My very easy method just speeds up naming. Write full names in the exam and don't forget the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. 2. Understand that gravity is the centripetal force maintaining orbits. It always points toward the sun, perpendicular to the velocity. 3. Distinguish between speed and velocity. In circular motion, velocity changes because direction changes, even if speed stays constant. This is a higher tier concept that examiners love to test. 4. For historical models, describe both geocentric and heliocentric, and always cite Galileo's observations of Jupiter's moons as key evidence for the heliocentric model. 5. In extended response questions, structure your answer clearly, use scientific terminology, and always link cause and effect with words like because and therefore. Remember, this topic typically appears in 4 to 6 mark questions, so it's worth about 5 to 8% of your total physics exam. Master these concepts, practice past papers, and you'll be confident on exam day. Thanks for listening to GCSE Physics Essentials. Keep studying, stay curious, and good luck with your exams. See you next time.